This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. On this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, I want to share with you a replay of my LinkedIn Live audio session that I did, and it's focused on helping you with sales, which is what the podcast is about as well. If you haven't checked it out, make sure to follow me on LinkedIn so you can hear these live. Obviously, you can hear them on the replays. And just so you know, this format is very similar to Clubhouse if you're familiar to it. And hopefully you can get some value from this session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. Today is November 3rd. It is a little after 1:30 p.m. Eastern. If you're tuning in, welcome. Glad you found it. I'm not sure what happened, but as I'm trying to log into the event, there was no login for the event. I could see everyone kind of waiting, and I could see some comments. Some of you might have seen the comments I made in that one, kind of directing people here, but I don't know what it was. There was no cover image and no way for me to start it. So had to create a new one really quick, throw it out there. Here we are. Glad you made it. If you're tuning in, this is what I'm working on is these LinkedIn Live audios. It's kind of like Clubhouse, except better because it's a lot of people. As I look through the audience here, a bunch of people I know. Welcome Jim, Misty, Jake, Miguel is on, Justin, Michael, bunch of people I know. More business focused than Clubhouse. Tried that actually almost about 2 years ago now, and didn't have a lot of success because it wasn't really the right focus and the right people in the crowd. And so somebody inspired me to try this, and it's pretty fun. I like doing this. One of the things that's interesting is that this is live. It is streaming live, and it's almost like radio. If you don't catch it, then you're going to miss out. Now, the nice thing is I am actually recording it on my side and then putting it on the podcast and then also putting it on YouTube. So if you do miss these or you want to listen to it again, if there's something you got and didn't grab a note of it, make sure to check out the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast as well as the Jason Cutter YouTube channel with lots of videos on there and taking these as well. So let's talk about this week's topic. What can you control in sales? So up till now, three previous sessions, been talking about sales and sales processes, understanding the other person that you're working with, that prospect, the prospective customer, the fact that you're dealing with a human. Like I say, it's really not B2B, it's not B2C, it's H2H. And so you're dealing with this human that is unpredictable, yet also pretty predictable because you can make some pretty good assumptions about what they're afraid of, what they're looking for, what they want most from you in a sales role. And then keep in mind, because again, I looked through this list here and of the people tuning in, and a lot of you are leaders. And one of the things about sales is that sales is about leadership. When you're in a leadership role, when you're in a guide and mentor role, like I've been talking about, you're actually guiding and leading that prospect across the finish line. And a lot of these principles also apply to leadership, to management. It's the same kind of things because you're persuading someone to follow your lead. Now, for today's topic, we're going to shift a little bit and we're going to talk about what can you control? What is it that you can actually control in the process? And it's funny because whenever the topic of control comes up for sales, it's always around things like the person who asks the questions is in control, right? And if you want to succeed in sales, you have to have control over the process and conversations, and it's about controlling. And I'm going to say the classic sales model, the classic sales approach is all about controlling the prospect and moving them forward, whether that's with tricks or tactics, manipulation, things like that, where it's all about controlling them and not letting them, you know, wiggle free from the process or make much of a decision on their own or get away without enrolling. And so what happens is it's all about control. And if you've ever engaged with someone where you're the customer to a salesperson that's in that mode, you can feel it. I know I can feel it when that person's just trying to control everything, trying to run everything, trying to control me and my decisions. You know, when you come up with a question or an objection and they don't like it, or it's something you can tell that they're worried that you were going to ask, you can tell that they're trying to wrestle back control, sometimes not even letting you ask questions because, again, classic sales strategies are taught that the person who's asking questions is in control. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about control. And funny enough, as I was putting this together and I wrote it out, if you saw the summary of this, if you have control issues, then this is a great one. If you want to be better at being in control, then obviously welcome to this. Now, let's talk about the first part, which is the person who asks questions is in control. I want to address that first. That is very, very true. I think that's a fundamental thing that is a truth when you're in a sales role. And again, remember, everything in life is sales. So when you're trying to sell or persuade somebody, even as a manager, the person who's asking questions is in control. If you're a manager, you're asking questions, you're driving the bus. If you're recruiting, if you're trying to hire someone, if you're in the interview process, if you're doing the question asking in the interview, you're in control. You're driving the bus, right? It's all about you being in control. Now, here's the thing, is that that is the case, the person who asks questions in control. The question really is does it matter if you're always in control, right? What would happen if you don't ask questions? What happens if they ask you questions and they are in control? And it's one of those things where you want to make sure that you can effectively give up control, that you can lose control and then regain it. Thinking about, I'm going to guess most everyone here has driven or is a active driver in their life right now of an automobile. And there's times where you lose control or you're not sure, you don't have control. But if you've done it long enough or if you've been in enough situations, you trust yourself to get back in control. Many of you that I know here, that are in a cold climate where it is rainy, it is snowy, it's icy, you know that when you drive in those kind of environments, there is a good chance that you will lose control. And you have a process in your mind of what to do, right? Don't slam on the brakes, let off on the gas, you know, straighten the wheel, just try to get back into control in a safe way and then keep on keeping on, right? And so that's the big thing that we know when it comes to sales and sales-like conversations. When you give up control, when you let that prospective client, prospective customer, prospective candidate, your team, when you let them ask you questions, they have now taken control over the conversation. They have wrestled that control away from you, or they are fighting for control, or you have abdicated control. Because there's times where, you know, let's say in an interview, you're sitting there and you're like, all right, what questions do you have for me, right? Like, I'm letting you do this. You're not doing it against my will as the person who's trying to have control over everything. I'm letting you control the conversation at this point. And in that moment that you're giving them control, they have it. If you're in a sales environment and you say that too, it's like, what questions do you have before we move forward? You're opening the door for them to control it, for them to get things out of their mind, for them to feel safe in moving forward. We talked about that before in one of the previous sessions, where SAFE is an acronym for Successful at Fear Elimination. That is your one goal as a sales professional, is to help someone feel safe, because buying something new equals change, and change is scary, and scary is dangerous in our minds, and we don't want to do it. We want to make sure that we feel safe before we move forward. And so in those moments where you're giving up control, when you're letting that person ask questions, you're giving them the reins for control, which sometimes can help them feel safe, sometimes will help them stay more stuck. And the biggest thing is that it's okay to give up control. It's okay to let the other person ask questions as long as you know how to get it back, right? And if you don't know how to get it back on track, to get the conversation moving forward, then I would say that there's a lot more work that you need to do so that you can handle those questions, objections, or concerns. And I've mentioned this a few times in the past. There is a difference. There is a big difference between questions, objections, and concerns. And in fact, in my ebook about overcoming objections, I go in there and I outline the three different kinds. If you want a copy of that, if you don't have one, send me a direct message if you're here on LinkedIn catching this live, or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I'll happy to send you the PDF so you understand it. But when you're faced with those three different things, right, questions, objections, or concerns, and it's that person that's trying to wrestle control or get control, in that moment, it's okay. You don't have to fight for it back. But the key is to understand how to get it back. When the time comes, you can take it back. Now, to give this as an example to groups that I've done training with, what I would always do is explain about this process, this principle, this idea in the sales process, where I would be in front of a training group and I would say, okay, what questions do you have for me? And then they would hit me with questions. And then I would bring up the fact that, hey, here's what we're talking about. In that moment, I feel confident and okay enough, right? Either really okay with the material, I really know what I'm talking about and I can answer it, or trusting in myself that if I don't know the answer, I will find it and then get back to that training class. But in that moment, having the confidence and knowing that, hey, whatever the class, whatever the group hits me with questions, I can handle it one way or another. I have an answer, or I will find the answer. And so I'm okay with giving up control. And I think that's really important. From a sales point of view, you want to understand, when do you need to be in control? When are you the leader that's driving this bus towards the finish line with this prospective customer? And when is it okay to let them grab the steering wheel as well for a little bit and feel like they're in control, or make sure that they're getting questions answered that are on their mind in a way that you know that you can also get back control? Because the last thing you want to do is what I call the death by a thousand punches, which is where they've taken over control. They literally are asking you questions, and they ask you question after question after question until they prove in their mind that they do not want to buy what you're selling. They do not feel safe in what you're offering, and they just want to stay in their comfort zone. And that's where I see a lot of salespeople lose, and where a lot of people get afraid of their prospective customers asking them questions, because they've had those kind of experiences where they've just been beat down with question after question after question, like they're on the stand in a courtroom and the prospective customer is like an attorney that's just badgering them and throwing questions at them and trying to nail them down and trying to look for any weak point in their argument from the sales perspective. And then once they find it, then it's over. And that salesperson then carries that mental baggage with them forward and says, oh man, I can't let people ask me questions, because if they ask me questions, they're going to crush me. And so I've got to stay in control and I've got to wrestle for that control. But that's not the right approach. And so make sure in those moments, you know who's in control at all times. You are okay with giving up control, and then you know how to get it back, right? You know how to keep moving it forward. And that's one of those things where in that objections ebook that I mentioned, I go into the process of what to do and how to regain control, but in a way that actually helps that person feel heard and understood and empathized with, and then also, you know, addressing whatever it is that they're actually asking about or whatever they're dealing with. Remember, questions, objections, and concerns are generally coming from a place of someone not feeling safe. There's a fear of change, and that's where they're coming up with that. And so you want to know how to move those people forward. So make sure to check that out. Now, let's talk about control in other places. Here's where, what can you control in sales? Fundamentally, you can only control yourself, and you can really only control your actions and activities. So important. We live in a world of results. We live in a world of outward signs and markers and things like that about how we're doing in our lives, right? Where it's financial, it's business, it's the number of sales closed, it could be any range of metrics. In general, our mind looks for the results. We look at the tree and we see the fruit, we see the apples growing on it, and we say, all right, this tree is healthy, this is successful, this is going well, this is great, right? I feel good about it. Obviously, the tree is doing well. We look at those. Now, the downside is, the challenge is that results aren't something you can control. You can't control results. You can only control actions and activities. You cannot control how well that tree does. You cannot control how many apples come off of that one individual tree. What you can control is actions and activities. You can control the number of seeds that you plant in the ground, how much nurturing, how much watering, how much protecting from pests and invaders and all kinds of things, how much you do to get that tree to do what it wants to do, but you can't control results. You literally can't. And it's so important because results are a lagging indicator. Results are a lagging indication of what's been done up to that point, right? That's not a leading indicator. A leading indicator is going to be the things that are earlier on in a process that would then give you the idea of what may come out the other end, and it's your actions and activities. So using that tree example with the apples, let's say the lagging indicator is how many apples did we harvest from this tree? That's the lagging indicator. We can't control that. It is what it is, right? The leading indicator would be, indicators would be how many seeds did we plant? How often did we water? How much did we nurture? What did we do for protecting it? And so on and so on, right? Those are the leading indicators that if we do this, we know percentage-wise it should work out, right? If I plant 10 apple seed trees, I should get this many apple trees, and then I'll get this many apples if everything goes well, right? And then you just work backwards to figure out what your leading indicators are. In sales, a lot of times what people look at is they look at the scoreboard. They look at it and go, am I winning or not? Have I closed a sale today or not? Or this week or this month or this quarter? And they say, I'm not doing well. And they look at the results. Or I'm doing well and they're looking at the results. The problem is you can't control those results. It might seem crazy to say, but you can't control how many sales you close. You can put in a lot of good effort. You can do everything that you possibly can, but you can't control, even in a conversation with somebody where you know it should be a good deal, it should enroll, it should be something that should close, you can't control whether somebody moves forward. You can't control that result. All you can do is control your actions and activities. All you can do is control what you can control, and it's those things, right? So you can control how many calls you make, how many emails you send, how many follow-ups you do, how much you work on yourself and your sales process and your selling effectiveness, you know, your internal training, how much coaching, mentoring, and guidance you get to give you feedback. You can control your mindset, the sales success traits like we've talked about before, openness, curiosity, creativity, persistence, and authenticity. You can control that part, right? You can control your thoughts, your reactions to things, and your activities. You can control that part, but you can't control results. However, if you look at it from a leading and a lagging indicator, you should know if you're in sales, if I do X number of activities and I do it over and over again and I'm consistent, I will get this result out the back end, right? If I do my 15 calls and my 30 emails and I do this on LinkedIn, if I do that every day, week in, week out, that is my sales success formula, which is what I work with a lot of teams to figure out what theirs is. And then I know that I just with faith, I know I can show up every single day and focus on my actions and activities, right? Not the results. Another example is when, let's say you want to get in shape. Let's say you want to lose weight or you want to get stronger. And so, you know, and we're approaching the New Year's resolution time coming up and you say, all right, I'm going to join a gym January 1st and then I'm going to go and I'm going to go all the time and I'm going to lose all this weight, right? Now, everybody is different. Everybody's body is different. Everybody reacts differently to different foods. Some people can do a paleo diet. Some people can do a keto diet. Some people are okay with carbs. Some people, like, you know, can drink alcohol. Other ones can't. Like, it depends on your own makeup. Like, everybody is truly different. And you can't control how your body's going to react to things. All you can control is going to the gym as many days as possible in a healthy way, how much effort you put into those visits to the gym. It's not just about going to the gym, but are you putting in the effort? When you go, are you mostly hanging out and playing on your phone, slowly riding the exercise bike? Or are you putting in a lot of effort where that you know when you leave, you did everything you could, right? Are you eating a certain way? Are you drinking the right fluids? Are you taking care of yourself? Are you getting rest and the type of rest that you need for your body? So those are the things that you can control, the actions, the activities, and the inputs. Going to the gym, how hard are you working out, the food, the water, the diet, the exercise, you can control those. But you can't control the results. You can't actually control how much weight you lose or what happens with your body. Some people are ectomorphs and they're tall and thin, and some people are endomorphs and they're shorter and more full. Like, there's certain things you just can't control and you can't change, and that's the results of what your body's going to do with it. But what you can do is control your actions and activities. And why do I say that? Because so much in sales, people look at the scoreboard. They say, oh, I'm not winning. And it's like, all right, but what are you doing to try to win? Because what I see is a lot of people who aren't winning, but they also aren't putting in the effort. They're not putting in the activities. They're not going through the process, going through the steps it takes. They are showing up to the gym and then half-assing it while they're there, right? Or skipping too many days in the gym and then wondering why they're not healthier and blaming something, maybe blaming the gym, right? And it's the gym's fault, and, you know, I shouldn't have joined the gym, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I hear it all the time. And I hear it relative to sales too, where people are like, I'm not closing enough deals. All right, well, what about these leads? Well, I called these leads once and they're not closing. It's like, that's not how that works, right? That's not how this game works. And so are you controlling what you can control? Are you focused on what you can control? And are you putting in the results that you can in that area? And again, I know I just talked about this for, what, 8-10 minutes, but it's so important, because I see a lot of people not looking at what they can control, which is the inputs, which is the actions, which is the activities. They want the results. They want to close deals. They want the apples from the tree. They want the six-pack abs. But they aren't controlling the inputs, and they aren't understanding they can't actually control the results, right? That might not be in the cards for you, but the key is, can you say at the end of every single day, at the end of every single week, right? Because not every day is going to be a great day, especially in sales, but in life in general. Can you say that you did everything you could, that you put in all the effort and all the activities, and essentially you left it on the field? Can you say that you left it on the field? And if so, the results will come. It's going to happen. It's that balance of faith and hope. We don't know what the future is going to hold. And so you have to have some faith that if I do these steps right in this formula, it will lead to this. And then I have to have hope, because I want that to happen and I want to move forward to that. So those are the two big things about control. The first one is understanding that you cannot control your prospective customers, especially when they're wrestling for control, but you can manage it, right? You can control the process with your questions as a leader and a guide, and then at some point be able to relinquish control to them when it's appropriate, and then know how to get back control, how to earn it back. And again, if you don't have a copy of the Overcoming Objections ebook, send me a message or send me an email. Happy to send that over to you so you can check out what those three things are: questions, objections, and concerns, and then how to handle those, how to empathetically deal with that person who is worried, scared, and stuck in their comfort zone, wrestling control, and why they're wrestling for control, and then what you can do about it. And then the other part is, just remember, always focus on the actions and activities. That's all you can control. That's it, right? You can't control how well your day goes, but you can control what you're doing in your day, right? You can't control the results. All you can control is what you put into it every moment when you can, and focus on controlling that. It's really tough because so many people want to control outcomes. They want to control the lagging indicators. They want to control life, and it just doesn't work that way. The more you try to do it, it's like trying to control water in your hand. Like, you just can't. It's not going to work. So thanks everyone for tuning in. Sorry for the late start today, about 6 minutes late diving in. Hopefully this was helpful. Make sure to keep tuning into these. Again, if you're not, make sure to subscribe to the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast if you want to catch these as a replay. Also, the Jason Cutter YouTube channel. I've got a ton of videos, putting videos up all the time. Thanks again for everybody tuning in. Hopefully this helps you control things in the right way in your sales process, your sales life, and your conversations, your leadership role, your recruiting. wherever it may take you. Remember, everything in life is sales. And thank you all for being a part of this and for helping me fill the world with authentic persuaders.